coming in this morning. I know some of you had a difficult time maybe starting your vehicle or getting out of the driveway or plowing late last night or whatnot like I did, or coming from Traverse City or Hanselona or wherever, but I'm glad that you came out this morning, and I'm glad that you're with us, and going to deliver a message this morning on hitting the mark. Before we dive into the scripture passage this morning, which is Mark chapter 1, if you want to open your Bible ahead of time there, I want to take you down a little nostalgic lane, if you would. Go with me. Some of you are going to remember some of these things. Some of you will not. This will not ring true at all, but I want to ask you a question. When you want to find something out, who do you turn to? Where do you go? When you have a question that needs answering, where do you look for answers? When you have a problem, who do you go to for your problems? Where do you seek solutions? Let's start simple. I remember when I was a kid and I wanted to know what time it was. For some reason, it seems that we didn't have clocks in our houses. We would pick up the telephone and dial the operator and ask what time it was. You remember? Anybody remember doing that? You would hear something like this.
Jackson,
Apatow, the daylight time will be 12:34
and 10 seconds.
I remember that. And sometimes we do that just for fun. I remember, too, when I was a kid, if I wanted to know the phone number of somebody, I'd memorize it. If I didn't have it memorized, I'd pick up one of these great big books and I'd look it up in the phone book. These have kind of gone to the wayside to some degree. Maybe you didn't use a phone book, maybe you used one of these. A Rolodex. Maybe you had one in your office. When you want to know a phone number, you flip through the Rolodex and you found out the phone number. Perhaps you're taking a trip and you needed to know directions. How am I going to get where I'm going to go? You would probably pull out one of these, open it up. Maybe you were a AAA member, and they would give you the, what was it called, triptychs or something? And they would give you directions. Or perhaps you had one of these mega maps, the Atlas, and you got your directions from there. Perhaps, if you've come into the modern age, you would probably have a GPS on your dashboard now. Or you can use your phone to find out where you're going, your directions. If we wanted to learn something, I remember visiting the library. Not that I still don't do that, but we would go to the library for the purpose of looking up in one of these. And salesmen would come door to door and knock and say, "Hey, would you like to buy a set of encyclopedias? Or half of your life savings?" That's all it would be. After the Encyclopedia Britannica, we buy software for our home computers. Microsoft had one called Encarta. Anybody own Encarta? Many of you, okay? Encarta.
That's true.
Today, we might look on the internet still and go to Wikipedia.com or many other websites that will give us information about different things. If we wanted to know a sports score and we didn't see the game, we'd have to wait till the next morning and go buy a newspaper, open it up, look down, and see who won. Now, if the game was late, I remember days like this, I had to wait 2 days to get the sports score because they didn't have the game in the paper the next morning because it ended too late to go to print before they went to print. Television, I turn on the television, we get our news or our sports from a sportscaster. Of course, my favorite now is right on my phone. All of those questions can be answered with a single push of a button today. And some of you may have a Microsoft phone and you have Cortana. Some of you may have an Android phone and you have OK Google. But I have an iPhone, and so if I want to know what time it is, what time is it?
It's 9:12 a.m. Good morning.
How did Michigan State do yesterday?
Michigan State narrowly defeated Ohio State by a score of 59-56 yesterday.
Could you repeat that?
Ohio State narrowly lost to Michigan State. The final score was 59-56.
All right. The Emily's here, but I know there's some of you have Ohio State red blood in your veins.
John is not that smart.
We all have answers. We all have questions because we all have problems. We have anxiety. We have cares. And I want to welcome you to week two of a sermon series we call Hitting the Mark. It's a play in the book of Mark, the second book of the New Testament, about the life of Jesus Christ and the implication of how God wants us to live today. We're looking at what it means to live the Christian mark. What does it mean to hit the mark, the bullseye, of the target of living a Christian life? If you have your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 1.
You can read the...
It's on your phone, your tablet, or your paper Bible. The internet was down last night. The internet was down this morning until about 8:10 this morning. So I do have a Bible offline on my iPad, but I decided since we're talking about nostalgia, I'd go to the paper Bible. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 29 through 34. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Now, you recall that Andy shared with us last week that it was the Sabbath day, and that they had met in the synagogue, and they had worshipped, and Jesus had spoken, had shared a message, and he had healed a man who was possessed by a demon. So the church is over, if you will, and now they're going home to the house of Peter and Andrew. Verse 30 says, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. Now, fevers were no light issue in those days. They were very serious, and they could be threatening, death-threatening, if it was allowed to be on her too long. So this was a serious thing, and they contacted Jesus at 31. So Jesus went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Notice that it's evening time, and so the Sabbath had ended at 6 p.m., and the people who were Jewish had now come and brought people to see Jesus. They waited until the Sabbath was over because it would have been against the law to carry these people during the Sabbath day. So the sun had set. 33, the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Probably didn't let the demons speak because the way that they were going to proclaim Jesus was not the way that he was going to reveal himself. He was not the expected, he was the expected Messiah, but he was not going to come in the manner that they expected him to come. He was not going to be someone with military might who took over, but he was going to be a humble, serving Savior. And he needed to show people that through his words and through his mannerisms. If you have a bulletin, you have notes in there, and I encourage you to fill out the blanks in there. But I've entitled this sermon, Pray and Release. Pray and Release. If you're fishermen, you probably know the term catch and release, where you catch the fish and sometimes you're not there because you want to keep any fish, but you release them back, or else the fish is too small, but you release it back into the water. I'm going to encourage you this morning, when you have questions, more than that, when you have cares, when you have troubles, concerns, anxieties, that you turn those over to Jesus by praying and then releasing those to Him. And that's the title of today's message. Pray and Release. The first point in your bulletin says, hitting the mark means we bring ourselves and our cares to Jesus. We bring ourselves and our cares to Jesus. We bring ourselves first and foremost because that's ultimately what Jesus wants from us. Jesus doesn't want, he doesn't need our talents, as bountiful as they are. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our abilities. He wants us. He wants our hearts. And that's what he wants first and foremost for us. What we give after that is a gift to him, a sacrifice. In fact, Romans 12:2 says pretty much the same thing. Romans 12, verse 2. I'm going to look some of these up, so it might take a second. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. God wants us to bring first and foremost ourselves to him. Secondly, he wants us to bring our cares to him. And hitting the mark means that we bring ourselves and we bring our cares to the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what your cares are today. Your cares are probably not my cares. As Dave said, though, all of our cares are probably the weather right now. We're concerned, you know, the cold temperatures and starting our vehicles and plowing out and dangerous driving. And that may be your concern. You may have a concern of relationships in your life right now. It may be that there's problems in your family. It may be that there's a dating relationship that's not headed in the way you want it to go, be going. It may be a relationship that's out of focus with God's will for your life. You may be having problems financially. You may be in debt. You may be having financial problems. You can't pay your bills and you don't see how you're going to do that. You may have problems with food. I like to throw this in with the addictions of drugs and alcohol, but gluttony is also a sin, and eating too much is a temptation that we seem to ignore many times in this country. And God brings that to my attention a lot of times. And I think we take it for granted that we can just eat all we want. It doesn't matter. But gluttony, too, is a sin. And we need to be aware of that. Perhaps you're having a problem with loneliness. This is a dreadful time of year when you have to stay inside a lot of times for hours on end, days on end, weeks on end, and you become lonely. Especially if you live alone, or maybe you live with someone else and you just don't communicate as well. And there's a loneliness that's filling your heart. Maybe you get depressed at this time of year. Maybe you don't feel worthy. And your self-worth is plummeting. Or maybe you're on the other end of the scale and you're just doing so much that you're busy and you're overwhelmed and you just start to see no end to the routine that it's day after day. Dishes and laundry or work, and it just seems endless. Your schedule is chock full of busyness with work and school and family life. Whatever it is, Jesus wants us to bring those cares, those anxieties to him, and let him take care of those. Secondly, in your notes, hitting the mark means we bring others and their cares to Jesus. Hitting the mark means that we bring others and their cares to Jesus. Back to the scripture, we see that After Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law, which indicates, by the way, that Peter was married, and there's another verse that also confirms that in the New Testament. It says that after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and being possessed. The people, they went out and they said, oh, I have a friend who's sick. I have a brother who's sick. I have someone who's needy. And they brought the people to Jesus. Now, as we go forward the next couple of weeks, you're going to see that Jesus becomes so famous that he can't get away from the people. That crowds are following him and bringing people to him all the time. And what he did is he healed them. He drove out the demons. Today, once we bring our prayers to Jesus and our lives to Jesus, it's our duty, it's our responsibility to share that news with other people and to bring them to Jesus, to bring their cares to Jesus as well. I know when I go to a good restaurant and I eat some good food, the first thing I'm going to do is start telling my friends about it. Facebook, word of mouth, whatever. Hey, there's a good restaurant over there. You got to check it out. Or if I buy a new gadget, a new phone, a tablet, a computer, something like that, and it's good and it works well, and say, hey, this is really a good deal. You ought to check it out. The same thing. Jesus is the good deal. And we need to share him with other people. So, question remains, how do we bring our cares to Jesus today? He's not physically down the street where we can call out people from the community and say, let's go down where he's staying, to the house where he's eating dinner after church, and go see him. We can't do that. How do we bring our cares to Jesus today? Well, the first thing we need to do is pray. Pray simply is telling him about it. Telling him about it. And there's a couple steps of prayer that I want to just bring to your attention. First of all, in your bulletin, in your handout, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we should pray without ceasing. Non-stop. And then Luke 11:5-10 tells a story about this woman who kept going to her neighbor and asking for help. I think it was bread. And she persisted in going again and again and again. Today we might find that annoying, but that's what we're told to do in the Bible, is go to God and say, God, I need to tell you this again and again. It's on my heart, and I need to give it up to you and tell you about it. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33 that we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. We are to pray and release these things into the lap of Jesus. Pray and allow him to work in our lives. Secondly, we are to live righteously. To live righteously. Now, this one isn't talked about so much with a message like this. But I want to bring it up because a lot of times we pray to God for help because we have problems that we brought upon ourselves. We have debt that we put ourselves in. And then we go to God and say, God, help us! And we're not doing anything to help ourselves. In fact, it's because of ourselves and our sinful nature that we're in the hole that we're in. And so I want to point number two and point it out to you that we need to live righteously. To live righteously. What does that mean? Well, live in a right way. Live in a wise way. Make good decisions. If you're in a relationship, live in a relationship in a godly manner. Valentine's Day was yesterday, and I hope that you, if you have a special one or a spouse in your life, that you were able to honor them and recognize them and appreciate them.
That'll go for like 10, 15 minutes.
But I hope if you're not married, that you acted accordingly, according to Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 13 love, where love is kind and patient and those things. And not in the worldly 50 Shades of Grey type of love, but in a biblical kind of love. Again, when it comes to finances, I hope that you don't get your paycheck and go blow it on a big screen TV, and in the meantime, not have money left over to feed your family. Because these are things that will allow us to live righteously. Point number three, under pray, keep a journal. Keep a journal. I just feel that this is a good practice to keep track of what you're talking and praying to God about. And keep a column that says answered prayers. This is what I prayed, and this is how God answered. This is what I asked for, and this is how God responded. That doesn't mean it's going to be yes every time. If you're a good parent, you don't say yes every time your child asks for a pop, or asks to sleep overnight at some stranger's house, or some friend's house, you examine the circumstances before you say yes. You don't say yes to everything that your children say they want, in the same way God's not going to say yes to you and everything that you want, because He can see the big picture and He knows that it might not be best for you. So point number one, how do we bring our cares to Jesus today? We tell Him about it. Hey God, I got this problem, this anxiety, this care. Tell Him about it. And then point number two is release. Pray and release. Release your cares. Give your cares to Jesus. 1 Peter 5:17 says, cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. I think that's King James Version. And then Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near, so don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. We need to trust that Jesus can do three things. Number one, He can heal. He can heal. Isaiah 53:4 says that He has taken our griefs and our iniquities, and He's carried our sorrows. The NIV says He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Takes it away if we release it to Him. Secondly, restore. Trust that Jesus can restore. He can put you back where you were. Maybe you've fallen, maybe you've slipped, maybe you're not where you need to be, but He can put you back where you need to be in relationship with Him. The story that comes to my mind is the one of Peter, after denying Christ three times and then Him being crucified, and he came back, and Jesus said, do you love me? Peter said, you know, I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Again, do you love me, Peter? You know, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? I love you, Lord. Then I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. He said, this is Matthew. You're going to have these keys to the kingdom. And in Acts chapter 2, there's going to be the day of Pentecost, so we're going to open those keys up to the kingdom. Where Peter preached that sermon because he was restored to his position as a leader. And he opened up the way for the church to take birth when he preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Heal, restore. And the third point, see, is change. Change. Jesus can change your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I want to share that with you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. This is the whole business of Jesus. It's changing people's lives. Changing our lives. Jesus can change us and make us into the people that He wants us to be. Pray and release. Now you might say, you know, I can pray, but I don't really understand how this works because He's not here. I can't go to a physical man, physical Jesus, and tell Him what my problems are with my voice, with Him hearing with physical ears. I don't understand how this works. That's a question that I had. It's like, Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, so how does this work today? And the illustration I can think of is a super nanny. Any of you seen the super nanny on television? Let me see your hands. Alright, if you've seen the super nanny, you know that you have got to release your children to the control of the super nanny. And you, parent, have got to step back and get out of the way. Because 99% of the time, the super nanny says, you know what, it's not the kids that have a problem. It's the parents. But the parents are not parenting right. And so the super nanny takes the kids and she trains them and teaches them in a way that they're going to be obedient and respectful. Another illustration of pray and release would be the dog whisperer. Cesar Millan is the dog whisperer. Anybody seen that show? Alright. Cesar does the same thing. You know what? Release your dog to me, and after some time, I will train your dog and bring him back to you. You have to trust in this man that he's going to train your dog and bring him back to you. These might be simple illustrations, but these help us to understand that Jesus is so much more powerful than the supernanny or Cesar Millan, that we can give our cares to him and trust that he can heal, restore, and change. Jesus isn't visible today, I will grant him that, but another thing that's not visible is a Wi-Fi connection. And we lost that earlier this morning. We couldn't run check-in, we couldn't pull up websites and sermon notes, for example, because there was no Wi-Fi connection in the building here this morning. It's back on now. But can you see the Wi-Fi connections? You can't see it, can you? But you can plug into it. You can tap into it with your devices. And it's there, and it's powerful, isn't it? Jesus Christ today is the greatest Wi-Fi connection that you can plug into. You can plug into this connection and you can heal and restore and change. If you have cares this morning, I want you to join me in prayer just now. I don't want you to say it out loud, but I want you to say it to yourself, what your cares are, and offer them up to God, whether they be financial, whether they be relationship related, whether they be weather related. Whatever your cares and concerns are this morning, we're going to bow our heads. And I would invite you to pray along with me as we give our cares to Jesus Christ. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your power, for your healing power, for your restoration power, and for the power to change our lives. And we have concerns and fears, Father. We live in this physical realm, and we deal with issues, Father. And we have responsibilities, and we get overwhelmed, Father. So just now I would pray for everyone here as they offer up their cares and concerns and anxieties and worries, that you would take those from us, Father. Like an ugly, dark cloud, take them from us and release us from them. Help us at the same time to be wise in our living and our decisions and live righteously, to give these cares up to you, Father, and take these from us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.